Right, it is a very, very great pleasure to welcome Rabbi Aryeh Stechler to our Beis Medrash, the Rosh Yeshiva of Heichal. I've known Rabbi Stechler since I was in 10th grade, and even then, even though he's my age, he's actually a little younger than me, I think, he was Rosh Yeshiva then already. And sometimes you'd expect someone who was of that caliber at a young age, you know, at some point, to level off. But Baruch Hashem, it's been such a blessing to see how Rabbi Stechler's star continues to rise in Klal Yisrael as he makes such a wonderful impact on so many people, so many Talmidim, and it's a very great kavod to have him here with us this evening.
All right. I haven't been to Camp Kaylee in a long time. The last time I came, I gave a shiur in the other room on Katan and Hilchos Yom Kippur or something like that. But I thought for tonight, let me actually borrow one of the Chumashim also. Tonight we're heading into Shabbos Chazon. So I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about Yishayahu. So, how do you guys view the role of a Navi? If someone would ask you, well, what does it mean to be a Navi? Yeah, certainly true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Navi a message that he has to share with Klal Yisrael. But usually it's a specific type of message. You know, if something happens, I'll give you a math equation, right? So let's say X equals the following, and you tell me what X is. So someone will say, oh my gosh, you're a Navi. So what is that? What happened right before that? Contente, yes?
You
could tell the future. So normally we think of a Navi, how does he share that message? Usually HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a vision of the future. So I think that we normally think of a Navi as someone who has time machine powers. Right? If you were a Navi, it kind of means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a time machine to go into the future. Right? And you see the future, and it's terrible. So you go back to Klal Yisrael, and you tell them the future is terrible. So just like in the time machine movies, what has to happen? Something has to change in order to change the future. That's how we normally think of a Navi, right? Is that how you would normally think of a Navi?
Yeah.
So I would like to suggest another approach to Nevuah. Based on this Shabbos Chazon coming up. What's interesting about this first parak of Yishayahu is that Yishayahu presents the people with two visions. What's the first word of Sefer Yishayahu? Chazon, right? Chozen milublin. When we say someone's a chozen, what does that mean? They're a visionary, right? So Yishayahu actually has two visions of the future in this Haftorah. The first vision is very, very sad. He says, Artzichem shimama, Arechem srufos eish. He says, it's basically going to be like, it would have been Sodom and Amorah, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachamim. So vision number one is that Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, is going to turn into a very, very, very dark place. But there's also another vision at the end of the Haftorah. It's another vision of Ashiva Shoftayech Kivarishanov Yoatzayech Kivarchilov. I am going to return Klal Yisrael to have Dayanim and leaders and Rabbanim And achareichen yikoyloch irat tzedek kri namana. After that, you're going to be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. And tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, v'shavel b'tzedakah. There's going to be mishpat. There's going to be charity, tzedakah. It's going to be a beautiful city. Yishayahu is the famous Navi that tells us about the concept of Or LaGoyim. Yerushalayim is not going to be just a city for Klal Yisrael. It's going to be a city for the world, a model. It's a totally separate vision. So it's not exactly true that the Navi has a window into the future and we need to change it right now in order to avoid the future. What's actually happening in this parak? What does it mean to be a Navi? There's two visions. So what would you say it means to be a Navi? So I would like to suggest to you, I hope it's not irreverent, but I'd like to suggest to you a second motto for a Navi, which is that he's a spiritual forest ranger. What does a forest ranger do? A forest ranger knows the forest very, very well. And he knows that there are different places that you could visit in the forest. There's a beautiful view high up if you climb on this path, on the triple blue painted on the trees. If you go that way, so then you will get to the top of the mountain. You'll see a beautiful view overlooking the whole Catskill region. Or if you go double red, he also knows that map of the forest, that you can go and see a beautiful, we'll go down the mountain, you'll see a beautiful river. That's the forest ranger. And you could go to the forest ranger and he'll tell you that when you get to the big willow tree, right, you have to make a choice of which path you want to go down. If you want to see this, the beautiful view on the mountain, so you go triple blue. And if you want to go to a different, he has different visions. He has the whole forest in front of him. And he's there to guide you as to which place that you want to go. A similar concept, I think, with looking at things that way. You see, everyone see the difference between the time machine Navi versus the spiritual forest ranger Navi? Okay. I think using the same model, you could also suggest an answer. I'm not qualified to answer this question, but I wanted to suggest to you an answer that you could think about. There's a famous question that the Rambam and other Jewish philosophers raised of how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly the future, but at the same time you have free will to choose. Okay? So let's pick. Anyone want to be the criminal here in this case? You know, do we have a volunteer? Okay, that guy. Yeah, he's got a little beard there. It looks a little. Oh no, it's a 3 weeks. It's 9 days. Nothing to do with that. Okay. So I could tell right now he's packing something in his jacket there. So he is going to choose, right, whether he wants to take out a famous dignitary who came to speak, not someone who was here on Gadol Day, but he wants to take out, someone who's going to get a lot. So he has a choice. You know, it's a big thing. Take someone's life. Right? So on the one hand, Hashem already knows what's going to happen. But on the other hand, he can choose. So it's very hard to understand exactly how that works. So the way I like to think about it, and again, I'm not sure this is the right answer, but you can think about it, is that it's like the supercomputer chess versus the person. Right? The supercomputer does not know whether or not which move he's going to make. What does the supercomputer know, and how does the supercomputer always beat the human being? How does it happen? It doesn't know. So how does the supercomputer always win? Yeah? Sees every possible combination. So let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks, I've done too many Averos, Chas V'Shalom, I deserve to get hit by his bullets, right? So, and then, but he decides You know, so he takes out his gun, and he has a choice whether or not to do something. So if he makes the decision that he's not going to do anything, so then I might laugh, he's too weak, he can't pull the trigger. And then I might trip out here, and I might, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to pass away, I'm going to pass away. And the other way, if he decides he wants to do something, right? So, you know, I've been turning and moving during this year. So he pulls the trigger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the right time, tells me to look over at Yonah, and he'll miss. So in other words, using this understanding that there's a forest out there with lots of different paths that life can go down, the Navi, like the supercomputer, like Kaviyachal, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that he has a time machine and he can look at the future. There is no future. But the Navi has the ability to see the entirety of the future and to see all the possibilities that are out there. He can see that Yerushalayim, Bnei Yisrael, will be destroyed. He can see that a beautiful Yerushalayim with Rabbanim and Torah being learned and people learning. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, sends these messages to the Navi, sends all these visions. So step number one in understanding the importance of what Yeshayahu is trying to tell us is to understand that he's giving Bnei Yisrael two separate visions, two separate possibilities of how the future, of how the future can turn out. Any questions? Yes.
So the Navi's going through Hashem to access.
Hashem is sending to the Navi the different possibilities for the future that exist. That's step number one. Yes.
If someone like pulls a trigger, if Hashem wanted to happen, it's going to happen anyways. How is it really his fault?
Well, that's a good question. It's a very good question. So Hashem has, like we said, Hashem could make someone slip and pass away. But if you choose to be the way that Hashem got this person to perish, then that's on you. Hashem could have done it a million ways. You choose to do something wrong, then that's on you. That's a very good question. Okay. Now, the second step of the Navi is not just to tell us the different possibilities of the future, but is to tell us about the willow tree. Right? At the willow tree, the forest ranger tells us, if you take two steps this way, miles and miles that way, then you'll get to the mountain. But if you take two steps this way and then continue all the way on that way, then you'll get to the river. How many years before the destruction of the Churban Beis HaMikdash did Yeshayahu give us this vision of the future that it would be destroyed? How many years? And if you don't know, you could guess. We're reading it one day before Tisha B'Av. So, but it was more than one day before Tisha B'Av that he gave this vision. Anyone want to guess? Throw out a number. What do you got for me?
I don't know.
Throw out a number.
I honestly missed the question. I'm sorry.
Okay. The question is, how many... My fault. My bad.
No, they're all
right. Never. They teach you that in teacher school. Never call on someone unless they raise their hand. So how many years before Churban Beis HaMikdash did Yishael come and tell us it's a possibility that it might be destroyed?
100.
100 years. What do we think? Raise your hand if you think it was more or less. More. Raise your hand. Less. Raise your hand. Okay, it was more than 100 years before the Churban. Excellent, excellent. So most of the Haifa guys raised hands for more. Okay? 150 years, you say, yeah, okay. It's not a chiddush to see the future when they're banging on the walls of the era, of Yerushalayim. And they're burning the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a big deal to get a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Beis HaMikdash might get destroyed. 150 years before that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yeshayahu. And at that time, Klal Yisrael looked very, very good. What were their problems in the time of Yeshayahu? Well, look here in the Navi. What do you see as the problems? It says, famous psukim, Shimu Dvar Hashem Ktinei Sidom. He calls the people, your people of Sodom and Amor, what are you doing? You're bringing Rov Zivchechem, Pasuk Yud Aleph. You're bringing all those Elim, Purim. But Hashem says, Lo Chafatzti, I don't want these. He talks about you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash, but Rimos Chatzirai, I'm not interested in you coming to the Beis HaMikdash. You're bringing Karbanos, I don't want them. Shabbos and Yontif, you're Chodshechem U'madechem, I'm not interested. You're davening to me, Kisarbu Svila, your long Shmona Esrei. The people were doing everything right. In one sense. They looked very, very firm. Bringing Karbanos, beautiful Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos and Yontif, Tefillah. It's not a big chiddush if everybody's off the derech to come and say that Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. But it was very, very close. It's hard to see the problem. What's the problem? The Malvin explains that there are very, very specific kavanos and intentions that you need to have when you're bringing a karbon. I don't go through that now. There's lots of different karbanos. He shows how every karbon is mentioned here and the different kavanas that you need for every karbon. And the Malvim says there are specific things that you're supposed to get out of Shabbos and Yontif. It's not just enough to not violate Shabbos. You have to go into Shabbos with certain intentions and certain goals that you have that you want to be Mekayim on Shabbos. And the same thing with Tefillah. If you're davening for certain reasons. So we were, at this point, we were great. But the Navi is able to see that if we now, from this point, take a few steps down the blue trail, then 150 years from now, we could end up with vision number one of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed and Eretz Yisrael burnt to the ground. But at this same point, when there's so much going right and we just need to tinker a little bit, we could also go down the red trail and have a totally different vision of the future, which is Yerushalayim, this amazing city of Rabbanim and Torah and Or L'Gayim. So that's the chiddush of being a Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to send only to Yeshayahu because of the anav and special person that he was. The message right now, Klal Yisrael, you need to see that you're at the willow tree, you're at a fork in the road. There are two visions in front of you, and right now you have to make small choices to end up 150 years from now, whichever you choose, with either Eretz Yisrael destroyed or Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim in its ideal state. So the first role of the Navi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him these two visions, two possibilities, or sometimes more, of the future. But the other thing is that his role is to tell the people that if you take one path, you end up with vision A, and if you take another path, you end up with vision B. So what should they do at this point? What should they do now? What's the guidance that you would give them if you were Yeshayahu? No wrong answer. Say, yeah. Do tshuva. Rashi points out that in Pasuk from the Psikta Rabasi, that in Pasuk Tezayin, in Yud Zayin, in Yud Ches, you have the Eser levels of tshuva. So let's look at that. He says, Pasuk Tezayin, Rachatsu, Hizaku, wash yourself, purify yourself, Asiru Roa Mal Aleichem Ineged Einai, Chidlu Hareya. Stop the bad. The Gra points out that these are the four parts of tshuva that we're normally familiar with. What are the four parts of tshuva? What are the parts of tshuva? You know, remember from the Rambam? Yeah?
Admitting that you're sinning wrong.
Good.
Feeling guilty about it.
Okay.
Asking for forgiveness.
Okay.
And now doing it again.
Okay. Okay. Basically what the Gra says and what, how he understands this pasuk. What's the goal of that tshuva process?
To rid you
of the avera that you were doing. And what happens when you rid yourself of an avera that you were doing?
You're not cleansed.
What do we call that in Hebrew?
Tahor
or kapar. So the first part, the first section, is the normal tshuva process that we think about, and that is to give us kapara, right? Charata, aziva, sachet, kabbalah, la'asiv. And the way the Gra explains, it's a very important Gra for another time, to get off the derech of being a chote. It's an important part in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Then, so what's Pasuk Yud Zayin? The next five parts of tshuva, according to the Psik Der Abasi. It says, Limdu Heitev, Dirshu Mishpat. You have to learn Torah. Ashru Chamutz, Rashi says, means you have to be Hadrichu B'nisiv Ha'emes Lizchos B'shalo. You have to go along the path, the true path, to get what's yours. And then it continues, Shiftu Yosom Rivu Amana. So I'd like Alpi Drush to explain that what this second part of tshuva, which is these five concepts, is really a very, very important thing that I wanted you to think about, and the main thing I wanted you to think about, is that we think of tshuva as we did an avera, and we have to get kapara, and we have to get forgiveness for that avera. But that is the first level of tshuva, and it's a very important level. I'm not taking away from that. But there's another level of tshuva. And that is, that, and it connects with Chazon Yishayahu. Every single person here has a vision for themselves. And not, it's not enough to just erase the bad things that you do wrong. You have to rethink where you are going in your life. What is your Chazon? And the only way to broaden your horizons is to learn Torah. You have to learn more, a deeper understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, all the mitzvot, how much there's included in every mitzvot. So Rabbi Leibowitz wrote a sefer, I think, on three mitzvot, a whole sefer on just three mitzvot. Imagine all 613 mitzvot. Imagine how long Rabbi Leibowitz's eventual svarim are going to be. It's going to be two shelves, at least. So imagine how much there is in each mitzvah, how much to learn, how much to take away. All the stories of in Tanakh, and how much, it's so deep. There's so much to what we individually can become. Limdu, we need to learn. And we need to understand, like Rashi says, Hadricheu Amasiv Emes, and to be kona what's yours. You have to think of your own path, of what you could really do. Okay, your Averos are gone now. Very hard to do. I'm not saying I've done that. But that's our first step. Get rid of our Averos, get kapara. But after that, now I'm forgiven, but what am I going to do with my life? What's my chazon? And not only that, the fifth level is, and the sixth level is, who else am I going to help and bring with me? The almana and the yasom, there are other people who need help accomplishing their visions. I'm going to fight for them also. I'm going to bring them along with me on my vision. So the first part of tshuva is to get rid of your sins. But the second is, now I'm even. I'm not in the red anymore. What's my vision for myself? There's so many futures out there that each one of you can accomplish, right? What am I going to do with my future? And that's the second part of tshuva. The Rav Soloveitchik in Halachic Man, so the second part of Halachic Man is all about how we become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by imitating Him. What's the greatest way that we could imitate Hashem? The Halachta B'Drachah, what could we do? Chesed, right? The Rambam says that we follow in His ways through Chesed, but the Rav Soloveitchik has an amazing chiddush in the second part of Halachic Man, that the way we become like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through becoming a creator. How do we become a creator? We're not God, so how do we create? What are some examples of things we could create? Pru Revu, excellent. Chidushei Torah, right? It's an amazing thing that someone here in Camp Keli, what are you guys learning?
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, you could think of a Chiddush on Hilchos Shofar, and forever in the history of Torah that no one ever thought of, now you added something new to Torah. It's amazing how you become a creator like that. But he also says a huge Chiddush about Tshuva. When it comes to Tshuva, it's not only Kapara. The second and deeper part of Tshuva is that you now are creating a vision for yourself. You're creating yourself. Right? No one else knows where you're going, what your vision is for your life. You have to make that decision. What do I want to become? What's my vision? And then you have to plan the steps. You have to decide what is the trail. Maybe it's quadruple green that you have to go down to accomplish that vision with your life. That's the second part of tshuva here, the next five that Yeshayahu is telling Klal Yisrael. And it's important to remember, now this is not Elul, where we think about our personal tshuva. What we're doing now in the time of the 3 weeks is we're thinking about communal tshuva. So it's not enough to think, what's my vision for myself? I'm going to sit in the back of the shul, and I'm going to daven, and I'm going to learn. During the 3 weeks, we have to also come up with a vision of how we are going to contribute to Klal Yisrael. How are we going to play a role in building the Beis HaMikdash? And sometimes it seems like we're very insignificant, and how are we going to help? But that's our obligation, to push past that feeling of insignificance and to think of a vision for ourselves personally in our Avodas Hashem, but also think of a vision of how we are going to contribute. And then just to conclude, sorry I'm going long, thank you for listening. The final level of tshuva is Pasuk Yudtes. It says, L'chu no v'nivacha yomar Hashem. Im yuchat o'echem kashonim kashele galbinu im yadimu kitola katzemer yigim. So the Pasuk says, Yeshayahu is saying, the final level of tshuva, the 10, according to Yisikar Abasi, is that what's the color of sin? Red. What's the color of Kapara and Tara and purity? White. How do we know that? From the Seer La'Azazel, they used to tie the string and it used to change. Excellent. So, when we think, the Gemara says in Yuma, that Gidola Tshuva Shezidonos Nasalo Kishkagos, that what happens is you did an Aveira, if you do Tshuva, then it becomes like you didn't do it on purpose. That's the first level of Tshuva. You get kapara for your sins. Hashem says, you know what? I see that you're very sincere. We will treat it as if you did it by accident, and there's no punishment by accident. But then there's a higher level. What's the higher level? The Shlokish says, Gedola tshuva shezidonos nasalo kizchuyos. The Pasuk says in Yechezgel that when you do tshuva, va'asei mishpah u'tztaka, aleihem yechyeh. On those Averos, it will create life and chiyus for you. So your Averos change into mitzvos. How is this possible? How does the past change? This is the highest level of tshuva. So I think the way you can explain it is as follows. That, let's say you have three guys, and they're horrible guys, and they're drug dealers, and they're terrible people. And they go in to do, like, to get some more drugs. They come in, guns blazing, to take the drugs. One guy gets shot, and two guys get caught by the police. Those two guys, and they grew up, it's a horrible story, they grew up in the hood, and not the background that you guys have, very poor, and all three of them come from very hard neighborhoods, and this is how they grew up, with drugs all around them. And it's a terrible life that they've lived. No one blames them but you got to punish people. You got to go to jail if you're going in guns blazing and shooting at the police. So these two guys go to jail. Their entire lives up until this point have been exactly the same. But in jail, the two of them go totally different ways. One guy says, look, I really like my old life. It's how I grew up. It's who I am. I'm not going to change. yes, I got caught because the other guy was stupid. He got himself killed. We didn't watch enough robbery movies and learn how they steal and things like that. We got caught. Next time it's not going to happen. When I get out, we're going to go back to the business as is, and we'll be better at it, and we'll live the same type of life, but we just won't get caught. The other guy says, look, jail for me, I feel so lucky that I'm here. The other guy I grew up with my whole life, he was shot by the police. I can't do this anymore. This is not the life that I want to live. And he spends the next 10 years in jail learning how to be a computer programmer, and then he goes down a different path and has a life that we would be proud of. They both had the same exact past. But one guy looks at his past and he says to himself, that's who I am. And the other guy looks at his path and he says, that's not who I want to be anymore. So do they have the same path? Past? They do physically have the same past. But in meaning, their past is exactly the opposite. For one guy, it's who he is. For the other guy, it's who he doesn't want to be anymore. So that's what it means that that through tshuva, the averos that you did can actually become mitzvos. What does that mean? Because based on what we've been saying the whole time, part of tshuva, what we learn from the Navi, is that we have to create a vision for ourselves. So if the averos help us create our vision of how we want to be a different person and how we want to do something, sometimes it's very related. I gave a bad example. Next time I give the shiur, I'm going to totally change it. He's not a computer programmer, but he learned how to be a drug counselor and help kids who are facing drug issues to get out of the hood and to live normal lives, right? So his past became part of the vision that enabled him to do so much good. So number one part of tshuva that Yeshayahu teaches us is you got to get kapara for your sins, and there's a process for that. You got to be at least even. Number two, you got to create a vision of who you want to be and what you want to accomplish. And during the 3 weeks, we have to think about how that's going to impact Klal Yisrael. But even more than that, a guy came to me. I met with one of our talmidim, and he was asking me about my past, and I was trying to understand why is he asking me about my past. It's not that interesting. And then at the end, he said to me, you know, Rebbe, you had such a great education, and that's how you were able to be, you know, who you are. I didn't have a good chinuch, and that's why I can't accomplish that much. It was such a gut-wrenching line from him. And I said to him, everybody's past, I'm not going to be like you. My past led me to be where I am because I took my past and I made certain changes and it led me to a certain place and it helped create my vision. Your past is the way Hashem wanted your past to be in order for you to make choices based on your past to create a different vision that is going to be your vision. So that's the third and next step after you're thinking about your vision. One second. Where have I been? What have I done right? What have I done wrong? How is that going to help me to create my vision? We don't have Nevi'im anymore in the sense of Yeshayahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is not sending people to us to tell us exactly the possibilities that are out there for the future, on the one hand. But on the other hand, we have Rebbeim who present different options for us. And it's so important to go to a yeshiva. There's so many great yeshivas out there, but it's so important to go to a yeshiva where you can connect with the Rebbe who can give you those different options. But bottom line, without the Navi, we all have to accept that achrayus of being our own Nevi'im and really thinking about what is going to be our vision, our short-term vision for the summer, what's going to be our mid-range vision for next year, what yeshiva am I going to go to, where am I going to be able to, what's a yeshiva that's going to help me build my vision of where I want to accomplish, and also have to think long-term. I also have to think long term about who I want to be in life and how I want to contribute to Klal Yisrael. Just in closing, the Gra says, famous Gra, that we should not say Baruch Ata Hashem Bonei Beracham of Yerushalayim Amen. Why does he doesn't have that Gersa? He says Bonei Yerushalayim Amen. You don't say Beracham. Why not? Because he says we're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy to have Yerushalayim. Hashem told us exactly how to get Yerushalayim. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shaveha b'tzaka. If you do the right thing, if you have mishpat and you have tzaka, what's going to happen? You'll have Yerushalayim. So just to save minhag Klal Yisrael, most people say, do you say Bonei Yerushalayim Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, good. See, excellent. So, Bonei Yerushalayim. Yep. Okay, you were listening? Very good. That was excellent. Yeah, and I'm saying Bonei Berachma Yerushalayim. You say that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I messed it up. Okay. So, I was trying to make up for before. So, Bonei Berachma Yerushalayim Amen. Most people say it. So, what's pshat? So, I think the answer is that what we spoke about before with what was your name?
Yoni
the criminal. we have a lot of visions. We have a lot of ideas. You don't have to feel frustrated when your vision doesn't happen, right? Everyone thinks Heichal is exactly like Rav Sekler wanted to create it. No, I had a different vision. We try. We have to have a vision. We have to have a vision that guides you, that tells you which path to go down. But at the end of the day, who makes the vision happen? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, he can choose to pull the trigger. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to send a mosquito right now and I'm going to bend down and slap it on my foot, I'm going to be safe. The vision is there because if you have a vision, you'll know which trail to take. But we can't be frustrated if our vision doesn't happen. Because Lamaisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the one who makes our visions happen, and we need Siyata Dishmaya. And that's, I think, how you can save Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, yes, if you do tzedakah, that you'll have Yerushalayim. But we need Siyata Dishmaya in everything that we do. It's still the Ashiva Shoftayach Kivarishonah. We have a vision of Yerushalayim that we want to build. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us. And hopefully, we won't have to celebrate Tisha B'Av this year. Hopefully, this beautiful vision of Yerushalayim, through all of your help and your visions and what you contribute to Klal Yisrael, will happen, and we'll have Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Meher V'Meher. Amen.
Amen.